The field arrives and ready, but the laborers are few. Let us walk in true compassion. Let us spread the gospel news. The fields are ripe and ready. Let us pray the Lord above. We will send the hungry hearts. We will teach them of His love. We will teach them of God's love. We are members of one body. Let us labor with the Lord. Let us labor with the Lord.
Thank you. prayer. Uh, I wanted to tell you, well, let's read the verse here. Romans chapter 12, verse 5. So also we who are many are one body in Christ, and each one of us are members of one another. This is what we talked about yesterday too. In one body we have many members. So we who are many are one. Now, mathematically, if you add up 1 plus 1, you get
2.
But in the body of Christ, you add up 1 plus 1, you get 1. And however many you want to add up of 1, you still get 1. That's all. And so in some ways, it's not logical. But this is what, this is the example of the cell and how it works in the physical body. Is let's say that I'm an epithelial cell. That's a cell in your skin. And there's lots of cells in your skin, right? Because, you know, you can just kind of go like this and they all fall off. But, okay, say I'm an epithelial cell and you're an epithelial cell. And we go, come towards each other and line up next to each other, which is what happens in a fellowship, for example. You come to my home, we fellowship together, we learn the word together, we're coming close to each other. Well, every single cell has a heartbeat of its own. And when you're far away, the heartbeats are slightly different. But the closer you come together, the more the heartbeats start beating together. And that's how God designed the physical body, the body of Christ, to work too. Is that, yes, we have fellow brothers and sisters that are all over the world, and many, many, many of them, we don't know them, right? And so they have their heartbeat going, and it's similar to ours, but it's not quite the same. But when we come closer, like, that's why I was so excited to hear that the believers in Colombia were Skyping in, because what Skype allows us to do is come really close together, and then all of a sudden we can just start speaking together. It's so wonderful. That phrase, members one of another, is sort of an old-fashioned way to say it. But another way to think about it is just one with one, or one to one, one of one. If you keep the one idea going, that's basically what we're going to be talking about all morning long, is how do we be one when we're really feel like lots of times we're separate. But what God, the way He designed it, was so that we could be one. So the first way I want to show you how we can be one and members of each other is that when you say you are a part of a group, like, all right, I'm driving down the road and I'm in it, and I see an accident happening right in front of me. I become an eyewitness of that accident, right? And I can say I saw what happened because I was there. Well, normally when you write a newspaper article or in any kind of publication that's telling about the news, they tell it in third person because the guy who's writing the newspaper, he wasn't there, was he? So how did he know what happened? He only heard it from someone who probably was there. So the news is normally written in he or they. He did this, they did that, this is what happened. Always third person. But if you've been an eyewitness, or you are a member of a group and involved in a certain scenario, then you can say I or we. Like, I saw the accident. I was witness to this thing that happened, whatever it is. And if it was not just me, but I had Trish with me and I had Pepe with me, then we could say, we saw. Now, Pepe might see it from a little bit different angle, and Trish might see it from another angle, but we can say together, we saw. And in the epistles, I challenge you to just read through them sometimes and see all the places that it says we or us. So I want to show you in Ephesians chapter 1. There's a whole lot of them. It's this little word us, because we've become us. Ephesians chapter 1. And when you say we, that means you're a participant. You've had a first-hand view of this, and you are part of the group that is included in the we. So verse 3 says, blessed be God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us. Bless who?
Us.
Bless us with all spiritual blessings. There's the same thing as I was saying yesterday. You can say, it's Christ in me, but it's really Christ in you. God has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly in Christ. Verse 4 goes on, even as he chose who?
Us.
Beforehand in him, from before the foundations of the world, that we should be holy ones and without blemish before him. And in love he marked us out. See? Beforehand for himself. Now I want to tell you just a little bit about that word beforehand. It's a little adverb that means before. But right here it's showing, God is telling us, he chose us. When did he choose us? It's before the foundations of the world. He knew that you would be in this room at this time, at this exact moment. He chose us beforehand, and he had the vision of this giant family over more than 2,000 years now, almost, where every single person, he knew that they were going to be there and part of it. So we are part of a giant we and an us. The last part about that thing, and he marked us out beforehand, both Greek and Aramaic words are really interesting. And what does it mean to be marked out beforehand? Okay, say an architect is drawing a picture of a building, and he's going to draw a picture of this gigantic house, right? One of the first things that he needs to do is he needs to draw the horizon and draw the line where the horizon is so that you can tell where's the ground and where is the air, you know, where's the sky. And then you can put the house in there. But if you don't have a horizon line, then the house just looks like a thick house, like children do, right? You don't see where the perspective is. Well, in Greek, the word for marked out is proorizo. It means he made the horizon beforehand. God set the horizon. He set the entire line of where every single believer who ever lived until the gathering together is going to be. So they have a perfect spot to be in. And he marked it out before the foundation of the world. Then the Aramaic word is the same word where we get engraved. How he engraved us on the palm of his hand. And our walls are continually before him. That God engraved us and marked us on his hands from before the foundation of the world. So if you ever tell yourself, or you ever hear anybody else tell you that you're not special, it's a lie. Because God is so awesome. He did all this knowing who you are and who you would be, and that we would be part of the us. So verse 5, it goes on. Since he adopted us in Jesus Christ, he placed us as sons as was pleasing to his will. I mean, you could do a whole teaching on just this chapter. I just wanted to read some of them. That the glory of his grace would be glorified, which he has poured on us by way of his beloved one. He poured on who?
Us.
Look at your neighbor and think about that they are part of the us with you. It's one to one. One with one. Members of each other. You can't get rid of the fact that you are part of the we and the us. Verse 7. In whom we have, that word in Aramaic means there is to us. It's literally there is to us. Redemption and remission of sins by his blood according to the wealth of his grace, which he caused to abound in who? Us! Did you ever see all these us's in here before? He caused us to abound in us with all wisdom and with all understanding, and he made known to who?
Us.
The mystery of his will that he had determined beforehand to accomplish in him. Again, see that little word beforehand? The mystery was also hid from the foundation of the world beforehand in God. Because had the enemy, Satan, the devil, known about it, he never would have crucified the Lord Jesus Christ. To be one body, one family, with one head, and have all the power and every blessing of the Spirit that was in Jesus Christ was a mystery that God had to hid, that he had to hide, so that it could be protected. And then when it was the exact right time, he revealed it. That's why it's that spiritual secret. But it's not a secret anymore, so we need to just shout it to the rooftops. We are members of one body. And nothing can separate us from, not from God, not from the Lord Jesus Christ, and also not from each other. Nothing can separate us. We have the same Spirit. We have the same love that Christ has, his peace, his gentleness, his compassion. What is it that you need? He has it. It is in us. Let's see. We'll just finish reading 10 and 11. In the administration of the fullness of times, that everything that is in heaven and in earth should be made new again in Christ. There is going to be a day where we literally will be all with each other for eternity. And boy, to even just wrap your mind around that a little bit is something you can meditate on and think about a long, long time, how wonderful that's going to be. So verse 11 says, we were chosen in him, even as he marked us out beforehand. That's the exact same one as back in verse 24. And he desired, he who performs everything according to the purpose of his will, that we, those who first trusted in Christ. Did you trust in Christ?
Yes.
Yes. Okay, so we're part of the we. Should be for the esteem of his magnificence. In King James it says to the praise of his glory, but each one of those phrases in Aramaic is a separate phrase, and it culminates in this last one, that it was God's will, it was his desire, it was his plan. He knew from the foundation of the world that it was going to be like this, and it magnifies and shows God's magnificence, the body of Christ. Now, there's a lot more us's in Ephesians, so you can go read them yourself, and that's a really wonderful study. But the main point that I wanted you to see was how special you are. Not just you, 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 and you, but we. We are special. Now, there's another word, and you've probably heard it before. It's called koinonia in Greek. And so I wanted to tell you a little bit about this word koinonia that I found. And of all places, I found it in Wikipedia. Normally, Wikipedia is pretty generic, you know. It doesn't really say a lot of things. And but this is a fabulous article on koinonia, and it's under the listing of intimacy with God. And the definition of koinonia basically is fellowship. So when we're a we and an us, then we can have fellowship with each other. Like I said, the closer you come together, the more your hearts can come together. That's called fellowship in the Bible. And fellowship is a really unique word. The definition here, it starts out with, it says communion by intimate participation. Like I was describing the scene where I'm an eyewitness of an accident. Well, I wasn't in the accident, so I'm just observing. But koinonia is where you are participating, you know. Hopefully you're not in an accident, but you know, let's just say we're in a musical band together and we're singing together. We are participating in it because we're singing together. So listen to this definition. Koinonos in classical Greek, it means a companion, a partner, or a joint owner. Therefore, it can imply an association or a partnership. Remember also yesterday we were talking about how we are in the family business and we're all employees together, but it's really like a partnership too, where we share in common our goals. We share the things that we want to do together. We make goals together. When we become members one of another, then all of a sudden I get really interested in what your goals are and you get interested in what my goals are. Not necessarily that you would actually even do something about that, but we rejoice together over all of the activities that the partnership gets to do. That's what koinonia is. Remember Peter and John and James? James and John and Peter and Andrew, they were all partners together in the fishing business when Jesus called them. They were partners. And so they had a fishing business together. That means that one person did one thing, another person did another thing. And, you know, maybe Peter and John were washing the net one day, and then another day James and Peter were washing the net. See? So that's actually how fellowship works as well. This is another really wonderful point, is that to create a bond between comrades is the meaning of koinonia, where you actually create the bond. Now, God created the bond, right? Because he gave us each all the same exact Holy Spirit. So we don't have to make the bond, right? But we do need to understand the bond, so that we can recognize and share together. So it says, when people are recognized, they share their joy and pain together, and they are united because of their common experiences, their interests, and their goals. So fellowship creates a mutual bond which fulfills the human desire deep inside for belonging and companionship. This is in Wikipedia. Isn't that amazing? Okay, and then it ends. This is even more wonderful here at the very end. It says, koinonia is always linked to action. Not just being together, but always doing together. With fellowship comes a close and intimate relationship, embracing ideas, communication, frankness, as in a truly blessed interdependent friendship. Interdependent is a really great word to describe it. Where I'm dependent on you, I'm linked to you, But where we actually have the partnership and where it comes into fulfillment is in the doing together. Like this seminar, which is so wonderful. You know, Chris and I live in San Diego. So we come here, we kind of come close to you, right? And all of a sudden, our heartbeats start going together. And we share with each other back and forth. You guys have shared so much with us. And it's given us a vision for what to bring back home. And, you know, it's awesome in our society that we can do that. We can hop on a plane and, you know, 3 hours later you're in a completely different city. Or the Skyping, you know, that's just something that was not available in other years past. Okay, now we have to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And this is the section in here about the body. And it starts out in verse 12 with exactly the same thing. But as the body is one, and there are many members in it, and all the members of the body, although they are many, are one body, so also is Christ. So the many are one. One plus one is one. For all of us also are baptized in one what? One Spirit. That's what brings the unity, is the one Spirit. Into one body, whether Judean or Gentile, whether slave or freeman. And all of us drink of one Spirit. That's a pretty wild picture, isn't it? Okay, let's drink the Spirit. Here we go. Well, when you get born again, that's pretty much exactly what happens, is you drink it in and it becomes, and it just fills your entire body. So when you said that it's Christ in you, it's Christ as an inner man, completely inside, behind every single cell in your body. Not just your eyes, not just your hearing, but every single place inside your physical body is Christ. So if we reach out and hug each other, who's hugging you? Christ. When you really think about that and think that every time you touch anything, every time you touch someone, you are making that connection with the Christ in the other person. And also in healing, all healing, physical healing, comes from the inside out. It's not like God is up here and he goes, okay, well, I'm gonna give a healing to somebody. Like, it's gonna come from outside to them. It comes from the Spirit of Christ within them that gets energized, and it brings life and health to the physical cells that are behind every other cell. So if there's a place in your body that needs some help, you start picturing that it's going to be healed because of the Christ that is behind those cells. All right, we'll keep on going here. For also the body is not one member, but many. For if the foot should say, because I am not the hand, I am not a part of the body, because of this, is it not part of the body? And then 16, it almost repeats it again, only it just uses the ear. If the ear should say, because I am not the eye, I am not a part of the body. Because of this, is it not part of the body? So you're repeating the question. Is it not part of the body? Even if I say, I'm just going to be a believer by myself. I don't need anybody. I can do it all myself. Is it not part of the body anyway? Right? Because one plus one is one. And you are part of the body whether you admit it or not. Oh, it goes on. For if the body were eyes, where would the hearing be? And if all of it were hearing, where would the smelling be? But now God has placed every one of the members in the body as he wills. One of the biggest temptations that the body has is to compare yourself with someone else. And so I got this illustration from, I borrowed it from Joyce Myers. But it's like as though my nose would say, look at my hand. Look at my pink hand. Oh, your my hand. It gets to wear a bracelet. I don't get to wear anything. No nose rings either. But my nose is looking at my hand going, I want to wear the bracelet. Let me see if I can wear it. I don't want to wear it.
Completely different way
and say, well, what is really good? What kind of function do they do? Are they a nose? Are they an ear? Or do they walk? Do they do this? What, you know, what do they do? And admire that and say, I need you. Because you do something that I don't have. So that's that part. But now verse 24 has a really interesting word. It's that word joined together. And in the King James, it says we are tempered together. And I have the whole chapter in the book about being tempered together. So you'll need to go read it. But this word tempered together, it means to mix. And to mix together so that there is a joining, right? Like oil and water don't mix together very well, right? So it's not that kind of mixture. In Hebrews it talks about how their faith is mixed together. And what this kind of mixing together and how it works is where there's actually a mutual adjustment to each other. And that the mixture becomes greater than the individual thing. So if I take balsamic vinegar and oil and put it together, I don't know about you, but I don't like balsamic vinegar by itself very much. But you put it with oil, and then you've got to shake it though, right? You got to mix it together, and it doesn't mix very easily sometimes, right? But once it is mixed and you pour it on the salad, good. Especially with, you know, some raspberry flavoring in there or something, right? It's the mixture becomes greater than the two parts. And that's what happens in the body because it's tempered together. It's joined together in God, in how God viewed it should be, so that the mixture becomes more than the individual parts. You've got to read that verse again. God has joined together, if He has mixed together the body, and He has given more honor to the member who is least. Not least in the sense of unimportant, but least where it's just one. If you're just one, it's okay. But when it's one plus one plus one plus one plus one, and multiples of one, then we get this gigantic mixture, which is fabulous. Okay, then it ends 25. So that there should not be division in the body, but rather that all the members would care for each other equally. So, if I know, like just say, just pretend I'm the balsamic vinegar, okay? And I need the oil. If I want to have the mixture, and that's my desire, then I'll go find the oil. So that I can be greater than just me by myself. That's the mutually caring for each other. That's going to seek out, again, like what I was trying to say, is go seek out what other people do and how they do it and rejoice over it. All right, verse 26, so that when one member was hurt, all of them would suffer, and if one member was praised, then all the members would be praised. Now you are the body of Christ and members in your place, or members in particular. When one member, one cell, one part of the body hurts, remember Trisha's example about the finger, you know, the part of her body got hurt. And so everything in her body just was like, yes, I gotta go take care of this hurt. Not just the white cells, but all kinds of cells. You know, the temperature raised in her body. There was a whole focus on what nutrition does the body need, the adrenaline like she was talking about. There's so many things when the body is hurt that we need to rally around to help heal that area. But the same thing is when something is to be rejoiced over, then we can praise together, we can shout together, we can laugh together, we can tell each other we love them. We love each other. Because that's where that fellowship is, where you feel like you belong, and you know then when you wake up in the morning that I'm not all by myself. I'm part of a we. And I love this we. This we stuff is just fabulous. So the many become one. And then we are members in particular. Now that word particular in here, in the Aramaic, it just says, means in your place. But I was thinking of another way to describe that, was that it's like particles of sand. Did you know that every single particle, every single grain of sand is different and unique from another one? Just like every snowflake is, every flower. That's how people are too, where you get all these grains of sand together, but they're like particles. The particles, when you look at them, are not so important by themselves. But when I pour a whole bunch of sand into a big sandbox and I tell my granddaughter she can go play in there, all of a sudden it does something. So the things I wanted to share this morning really were that the many are one, one plus one is one, and we are part of an us, and we have so many spiritual blessings because of that. But when we look at the body and we see things and we don't understand them, just try to remember the hand doing what the nose should do. And remember that it's in the mixture where the joy, the wonder, the awe, the tremendous blessings that are all part of God's design from the foundation of the world. So we're going to take a 20-minute break.
Yes.
And then Trish is going to come back after the break, and she's going to teach about being in one accord. So get some coffee, enjoy. Thank you.